Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
These are the challenges I'm here to tackle. But instead of focusing on how to make America stronger tomorrow, some people want to know if I'm going to cave today. We've all heard the calls for me to drop out. We all know where they're coming from. The political elite, the party bosses, the cheerleaders in the commentator world. The argument is familiar. They say I haven't won a state, that my path to victory is slim. They point to the primary polls and say I'm only delaying the inevitable. Why keep fighting when the battle was apparently over after Iowa? Look, I get it. In politics, the herd mentality is enormously strong. A lot of Republican politicians have surrendered to it. The pressure on them was way too much. They didn't want to be left out of the club. Of course, many of the same politicians who now publicly embrace Trump privately dread him. They know what a disaster he's been and will continue to be for our party. They're just too afraid to say it out loud. Well, I'm not afraid to say the hard truths out loud. I feel no need to kiss the ring. I have no fear of Trump's retribution. I'm not looking for anything from him. My own political future is of zero concern. So I hear what the political class says, but I hear from the American people too. I've heard from a retired Army medic who looked evil.
That is Nikki Haley giving this state of the race speech, and I'm not dropping out, and I'm not going to drop out, and oh, by the way, I'm not dropping out. Now, how do you overcome a 30-point deficit in South Carolina, Nikki Haley? This is the question. Tony Katz today. What's going on, Boo Bear? 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. I don't argue that this is a bad philosophy she's got here. This is smart. This is the thing that's ahead of you. You can vote for Trump and make it impossible to win a general election, or you can throw aside the conventional wisdom, vote for me, and we will handily defeat Joe Biden. Two problems with that. We'll take the last one first. It won't be Joe Biden. That's why she says there's going to be a woman in the White House. It'll either be me or it'll be Kamala Harris. That's why she uses that line. Her other problem is she can't get past South Carolina. There is not a mathematics that exists based on the polling that would get you there. The Real Clear Politics average has her ahead, has Trump ahead of Nikki Haley by 25 points. And that does not include the Citadel poll, C-I-T-A-D-E-L, Citadel, that has Trump up by 30. 30. As a bunch of other polls have. Only some recent polls has him up by 22. Let's make the argument that the spread right now is 25. That's the spread. Trump is ahead of Haley by 25. I ask you, is Nikki Haley going to outperform the polls by 16? That would mean she loses by 9. But would so overperform that she could make an argument for staying in the race. Do you listen to the level of fantasy occurring in that conversation? I've said it. I meant it. Trump is going to be very difficult to get across the finish line for a general. He isn't beloved by the country. DeSantis would have been easier. That's my take. But here we are. Here we are, Boo Bear. Here we are. How do you get past South Carolina? She's trying to do it by making the argument of, look, you can make a decision now or you can make a decision later. But if you make a good decision now, you'll have an easier decision later. That going to fall on anybody's ear and make them change their mind?
I'm used to people questioning my intentions, so I'll make a few things clear. Some people used to say I was running because I really wanted to be vice president. I think I've pretty well settled that question. Other people say I'm trying to set up a future presidential run. How does that even work? If I was running for a bogus reason, I would have dropped out a long time ago. The rest of the fellas already did that. They have their own plans. I don't judge them. But I'm still here.
She's got to stop with this fella's talk. It doesn't work. And you might be asking me, why are we even listening to her? She has no shot. I want to hear how she's trying to market it to the country. How is she trying to sell the impossible? It's like watching somebody try and sell me Amway. I want to figure out how they're going to get me to take 40 pallets of toilet paper every 2 weeks.
That's it. After this weekend, we'll be at 4. That's not a lot. In the 10 days after South Carolina, another 21 states and territories will vote. People have a right to have their voices heard. And they deserve a real choice, not a Soviet-style election where there's only one candidate and he gets 99% of the vote. We don't anoint kings in this country. We have elections. And Donald Trump, of all people, should know we don't rig elections. Americans of every belief and background are tired of our national mess. They don't want more chaos and craziness. They worry about a national collapse. If I weren't in the race, we'd be reading the exact same storyline every day until November 5th. There would be widespread reports of Americans suffering from a bad case of Biden-Trump fatigue. And it would be true. A stunning 70% of the country doesn't want a Biden-Trump rematch. The majority of Americans don't just dislike one candidate. They dislike both. As a country, we've never seen such dissatisfaction with the leading candidates. We've never had so many Americans mired in pessimism and division. We still have a chance to restore their faith. I will fight as long as that chance exists. Now, I know what Donald Trump is saying. He wants an election with no opponent. Yeah. But that's not what the voters are saying. Despite being a de facto incumbent, Donald Trump lost 49% of the vote in Iowa. In New Hampshire, Trump lost 46% of the vote.
But that's that means he won 51 and he won 54 and he's ahead by 25. This is a very tough argument. Yes, it's important to hear it. People are going to dismiss it. It's because the brain is small. Open it up. Does Trump not want an opponent? Of course Trump doesn't want an opponent. Trump wants fealty. Trump wants sycophants. Trump wants to be adored. Nothing else. This is who he is. Okay. As long as I get lower taxes out of the thing and a better economy, I'm cool. As long as no one is trying to force men into women's bathrooms, I'm cool. I get some things out of this, fine by me. But I am fully aware of who Trump is. Trump absolutely doesn't want an opponent. That's who he is. So her argument, it falls flat. But this is a last ditch effort. I think we all see it. I think we all understand exactly what we're talking about here. This is a last ditch effort to try and say, hey, you have a choice. And to that end, a vast majority of Americans don't want a rematch. Again, true in a general, but not true in a primary, which is, of course, our issue, isn't it? Our issue is, in the primary, we did not give ourselves an opportunity to fight for the country. Like wounded ducklings, we rallied around the duck. We're going to protect you. We're going to take care of you. We're going to not let them do this to you. I can say here and now, without question, that what they have done to Donald Trump is as wrong can be. It's awful. It's disgusting. It's despicable. It is absolutely un-American. It is wholly unethical. You will not get me to disagree at all. But I'm talking about how you win a general election. And Trump is not as popular as you would like him to believe that he is. That's all. That is not anger. That's just fact, kitten. Fact. And I wanted to make it easier on us to get over the finish line and take the presidency. I also want to make it easier on those down ticket races to get the Senate and the House, because Lara Trump is as wrong can be. It's not just focused on getting Trump elected. Win the Senate, keep the House, get governor's mansions, get state houses. It's as if these people have never actually thought about the job before, because to them, the job only exists in one direction. And too many Trump supporters, it only exists in one direction. As if somehow he could do it alone. But he can't. Because no one can. Because that's not the way the system works. And me, I'm trying to work with a system. A good system, by the way. Yes, I understand how they're bastardizing it. And yes, I understand how we have to fight back to ensure that doesn't happen again and those people get held to account. Trump in the White House and no backup, that's the way to do it? Not taking governor's mansions, not taking state houses, not winning the Senate, not winning the House, not safeguarding elections for the future? Sorry, it's not really an answer. Now you say to me, Tony, are you trying to make Nikki Haley's case? No, I was making the case for anybody who wasn't Trump. I'm making the case for why we have an issue going into a general if Trump is the nominee. I can't make Nikki Haley's case. There's no case to make. The level of miracle she needs in South Carolina is so great. The bushes need to burn and the seas need to part. And somehow, and in some way, I'm trying to think of what other great miracle has to take place. More people are likely to believe Jussie Smollett than they are to see a victory for Nikki Haley in South Carolina. So what is this speech?
More unstable and unhinged. He spends more time in courtrooms than he does on the campaign trail. He refuses to debate. He's completely distracted. And everything is about him. He's so obsessed with his own demons from the past, he can't focus on delivering a future Americans deserve. We have two hugely flawed candidates in Biden and Trump. Americans know it. They've been saying it for years, and we all know why. Trump and Biden are two old men who are only getting older. Nearly 60% of Americans say Trump and Biden are both too old to be president, because they are. We've all seen them fumble their words and get confused about world leaders. That's not who you want in the Oval Office when Russia launches a nuclear weapon at our satellites or China shuts down our electricity grid. We're talking about the most demanding job in human history. You don't give it to someone who's at risk of dementia. You give it to someone who's disciplined, someone who can work day and night for 8 straight years. No vendettas, no drama, just results.
It's a great pitch. It's too late. I have no reason to think that this is going to work in South Carolina, where Trump is ahead by 25, and I'm being generous to Nikki Haley with the 25. But this is her pitch. We'll find out in a few days, because the primary is Saturday, whether or not it works. And as I've said all along, she comes within single digits in South Carolina. She will have money and she will move on to Super Tuesday. Man, that's a lot of ifs. I'm Tony Katz. She's still going. Nikki Haley is still going. This speech is about 15 minutes too long. It is. Make your point, make your statements, get off the stage. Less is more. Don't engage in this. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. That's crazy. I'm not doing it. I was going to say, should I ask if anybody's voting for her? We don't need to get into this. Look, we're all going to do what we do. We're going to watch on Saturday. We're going to drink a bourbon. We're going to see. We're going to see what happens. But I can't imagine it goes any other way. Meanwhile, I will get to the vote that took place in the United Nations to say no to a resolution pushing for a ceasefire, which is weird because the Biden administration is desperately looking to push a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza. The administration, it is so such an odd mix of things, but we should be clear. Rashida Tlaib has moved Joe Biden to abandoning even the concept of a relationship with Israel to win re-election because the Democratic Party is so absolutely lousy with Jew-hating bigots that they must do this in order to continue to get the vote. Ain't that something? I'm going to get to that. No, I'm going to get into this as well. This is Fonnie Willis's father. I was going to talk about this the other day and I forgot. Did you hear him talking about teaching his daughter how to have cash? Remember, Fonnie Willis is the Fulton County prosecutor or district attorney and hired the prosecutor, her lover, who bought the vacations that they both went on and she allegedly paid him back in cash. Because she had cash in the house. And then here's dad to, say, oh, yeah, she had cash in the house, all right. She had plenty of cash in the house.
Good morning, Grant. Good morning, Counselor.
When your daughter moved or left the house that she owned, did she say anything to you about having a large savings of cash?
Oh, no. See, maybe, excuse me, and Your Honor, I'm not trying to be racist, okay? But it's a black thing, okay? I was trained, and most black folks, they hide cash or they keep cash.
I will explain how keeping cash is in no way, shape, or form a black thing. However, there might be cultural conversations to be had about why he thinks it is and why my Jewish father thought it was. But it's not a black thing. It's a rational thing, and I will get into that as well. Rashida Tlaib controls this Democratic Party. That's not good for decent folk. I'm Tony Katz.
this conversation with him and with his people, that he's gone too far to the left. They pushed him and pulled him and whatever, but that's not where America is. That's not where our country is. So I'm hoping the Joe Biden that we saw in 2020 will be the Joe Biden we see in 2024, if that can be done. If not, it's going to be a long road for everybody.
Are you going to endorse President Biden?
I'm not endorsing anybody right now. We're going to see what all happens. We've still got plenty of time here. I'm going to do everything I can to help move them back to the middle and show them where the strength of this country lies, where the voting block of the country lies, and the extremes are going to be there no matter what. And I respect
Joe Manchin. I wish you the best of luck. But you really think, I mean, just for making sure we're all on the same page, you really think you're going to move Joe Biden back to the middle?
You're a bit late for that.
Two things. First, no, you're not. He needs the most progressive wing of the party in order to win. And secondly, whatever made you think he was in the middle to begin with? This is the great lie. Joe Biden was never in the middle. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-GOT-TONY. 833-468-8669. He just wasn't. He was always a progressive. Always a lefty. Always a jerk. Always an egomaniacal you-know-what. Always. It's just compared to the newest round of people, he seemed rational. But of course, that was never the case. And now, that is absolutely over. Over. And he has got a host of issues that he has to deal with on his side as he runs for re-election. Now, just between us, we all understand that he's getting replaced on the ticket, right? Joe Biden is getting replaced on the ticket. That's happening. But let us for now, while he is still the candidate, let us discuss it as him. Joe Biden is getting pushed to the left, as you have heard, on every subject. And he has had to deal with reality while his party doesn't believe in reality. One of those places has to deal with electric vehicles. This from MSNBC just today.
A potential speed bump in the American automotive industry's road to going green. The Biden administration may be tapping the brakes on its push to reduce auto emissions as dealerships struggle to get electric vehicles on the road. I want to bring in NBC's Tom Costello to talk more about this. What exactly, Tom, is changing here?
Well, the Biden administration is going to leaning towards slowing the rollout of tougher new emission standards, tailpipe standards. And the reason is this. Both the auto industry, which has spent a lot of money on this already, going to EVs, and also the auto workers are saying they simply need more time to make the transition over to electric vehicles.
That's not true. America has spoken. And what they have said about electric vehicles is, and I'm quoting, not to the idea of an electric vehicle, to the cost. I've told you that I have a sponsor for my radio show, a Ford dealership here in the Indianapolis area called Andy Moore Ford. Great, great people. And I have driven now from them the Mach-E, which is the electric Mustang. Why they called it the Mustang, I have no idea. Very cool. I drive right now the Lightning, which is the F-150 electric. That car is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It is comfortable. It is laid out beautifully. It is a rocket ship when it comes to speed. And the ride is as smooth as anything I've ever been in, ever. It is sensational. I can tell you how sensational it is from now until the end of time. But if you don't have those tens of thousands of dollars to buy the electric vehicle, you'll get the one that does gas. That's the reality. This is an economic reality that America has said, hey, We see the electric vehicle. We can't do the electric vehicle like this. Thank you very much. There are also trust issues. You know who proves this? Hertz. Hertz bought thousands of Teslas. Hertz, the rental car people. Thousands of Teslas. And now they're selling all the Teslas. Stories that you could go to the rental car desk and there'd be a line. And people would say, if you want an electric vehicle, I can take you right now. And the response to those people because when you're renting a car, you don't want to have to figure out where the charging station is. You don't know how long it's going to be. Is this the neighborhood you want to be in? You're not sure where you are. Yeah, I'll just take the gas. I'll take the thing that I know works perfectly, and I don't have to worry or concern myself with where I'm going to get more power. Now, maybe in 10 years, that won't be the conversation. But it is today. The Biden administration tried to force this upon Americans because his party, these radical green ideological freaks, demanded it. They demanded something that was not reality-based, but they don't care because they're not reality-based. They're not. They have a dream. Let's call it a fantasy. They think about this fantasy. They get excited about the fantasy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
And then they push the fantasy upon you. It's really, you know, for the Me Too people, they really don't mind shoving it down your throat, now do they? What America said is, yeah, this ain't gonna work. We reject this. They coughed it right up. No thanks. No thank you. I have zero issue with electrical vehicles. Electrical vehicles. What am I? Electric vehicles. Much better, Tony. Let's pretend you understand words. Zero. I'm telling you, I drive one. It is stunning. But America can't be forced into this. They don't want it. Hybrids, they'll look at. But all electric all the time? The cost is too much. And then there are the questions and the concerns they have about charging stations and distances and, you know, mileage. No thanks. They don't want it. Thus, the administration is left in a bit of a quandary. We thought we could force everybody into taking these electric vehicles. Now we've created these outrageous CAFE standards, these outrageous fuel efficiency standards. And if we are to really hold to them, we're not going to have new cars sold in 3 to 5 years. It just won't happen. There are states like California that are set up, I think it's 2030, you cannot purchase a new gas-powered vehicle. Maybe a hybrid. It has to be electric. Of course, this is a ridiculous idea. Just like it was ridiculous for General Motors to push itself to an all-electric fleet. You were wrong. Volvo is wrong. Wanting to add in electric vehicles, you gave it a shot. Some places it worked, some places it didn't. You're going to live and learn. Ford has cut production of the Lightning. There aren't as many people who want it. Reality. So reality is forcing Joe Biden to make a change that his party is going to just be apoplectic about. Wait till Democrats hear that electric vehicles are not being forced on you, me, and we.
You're a little bit racist.
Well, you're a little bit too.
Of course, that's going to be environmental justice and all that jazz. Then comes what's going on in Israel, where Joe Biden is very, very clearly giving in to the most extremes of his party. Let's start with what took place at the United Nations today. The ambassador, Linda Thomas Greenfield, stating that the United States will not go forward with what the Security Council wanted, which was a ceasefire, even though the United States is pushing for a ceasefire. Listen.
The United States is working on a hostage deal between Israel and Hamas, along with Egypt and Qatar. This hostage deal would bring an immediate and sustained period of calm to Gaza for at least 6 weeks. And from there, we could take the time to build a more enduring peace. President Biden has had multiple calls in recent days with Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as the leaders of Egypt and Qatar, to push this deal forward. And though gaps remain, the key elements are on the table so that if an arrangement is reached, it would help create the conditions for sustainable cessation of hostilities, which I know all of us would like to see. Of course, we want this deal to happen as soon as possible, as is shown by our exhaustive efforts. But sometimes hard diplomacy takes more time than any of us might like. Believe me, I understand the desire for the Council to act urgently, to positively shape the situation in line with the Security Council's mandate. Still, that desire cannot blind us to the reality of the situation on the ground. It cannot come at the expense of undermining the only, and let me repeat, the only path available towards a longer, durable peace.
I'm not sure what path she's referring to. Because a path that keeps Hamas in power, a path that does not destroy Hamas, a path that does not end Iran's ability to fund terrorists, whether it's Hamas in Gaza or Hezbollah in Lebanon or the Houthi rebels in Yemen, cannot bring about a peace. Yes, the United States is going to push for a ceasefire. The reason they are pushing for a ceasefire is Representative Rashida Tlaib, that Jew-hating bigot, who made a video stating very clearly, don't vote for Joe.
It is also important to create a voting block, something that is a bullhorn to say enough is enough. We don't want a country that supports wars and bombs and destruction. If you want us to be louder, then come here and vote uncommitted.
Don't vote for Joe in the Democratic primary. Joe Biden's team has heard this loud and clear. Loud and clear. Now, some think that this means that someone like Rashida Tlaib is going to get a primary challenge.
What do you make of that?
You know, it's a mixed bag. I was on the phone with a couple of folks from Detroit in the last day or two, which is where I'm from. One person who I was surprised that he thought about voting uncommitted because he really was concerned about what's happening in Gaza. But then I also talked to someone and I found out, I guess I'm going to say this here for the first time, I think that Congresswoman Tlaib is going to get a primary challenge. I'm hearing very strong rumblings, and it may be from a gentleman from Detroit. I can't say the name yet, but I do think she may get a primary challenge, almost because of how stridently she's been doing this. So people are all over the map. It's dividing Democratic communities, and I think the president is going to have to go in hard and really knit people back together.
Well, that's interesting.
I love how Caitlin Collins responds. Such a professional. Huh, that's interesting. She makes more money than I do. That's crazy. So that the person who was speaking is the former comms director for Vice President Kamala Harris. She might get a primary challenge. That, of course, is possible. But what is reality is that Joe Biden is going to go along with whatever the left wants here and is willing to put the screws to Israel and to hell with a foreign policy of value. This is former U.S. Representative Democrat Andy Levin.
Here's the situation. Joe Biden must win in November. We cannot let Donald Trump anywhere near the White House again. To win in November, Joe Biden pretty much has to win Michigan. Unless Joe Biden changes course on Gaza, I don't see how he can win Michigan.
You see that? He has to win Michigan, otherwise Trump will be president. And to keep Trump from being president, you have to tell Israel to suck it. That right there is as clear of an understanding of where these progressives are. Throw your allies under the bus. Don't pretend anymore like somehow we're opposed to terrorism. Instead, support the terrorist lovers like Rashida Tlaib. I said it, I meant it, I apologize to no one. And the people who support her, by the way. And sell out your ally for the terrorists of Hamas, who people like Rashida Tlaib support. Why? Because otherwise you might lose Michigan, and you have to beat Trump. That's... You see, you want to have a standard, but sometimes you got to change in order to, you know, get victory. Because victory is the only thing that matters, and then you can go back to standards later. If Israel doesn't know that it is so wholly screwed. So screwed. And that's why I'm going next week. I want to see how they're doing. I want to see how they react to all of this. I will be there next week, next Wednesday. We'll be there for a week. We'll be reporting back. I'll bring it all to you. This is Tony Katz today. 402 with you in the middle. The Dow is down 114. The NASDAQ is down 228. Last week ended on a down note. This week, because the markets were closed yesterday, continues that. Look, sometimes there's just some good old-fashioned profit-taking. People are like, you know what? I've done well. There it is. And by the way, this literally just posted. The electric Mustang I was talking about, the Mach-E. Ford cut the price by $8,100. Because it was too expensive. And don't think that the Biden administration actually cares about you. I'm Tony Katz.